No fly list.
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, musicians, and other interesting and cool people of color. I'm Athir.
And I'm Sabine.
And today we had comedian and super just great guest, all around awesome person, Alingon Mitra.
Yeah, you said his name right.
Yes, he corrected us from the top. He corrected me, so you didn't have to say it wrong. Mm-hmm.
I lucked out.
Oh. He's been on Conan. He's been on Colbert. He like performs all over the city. He tours.
He's posting clips every day of like just, he's just got so much material. He's great.
He's so awesome.
So funny.
Please check him out. And we had such a cool conversation about things from, you know, our childhood, being at home during the pandemic, having to deal with like regressing with our parents.
Yeah, and meditating.
Meditating.
Like, that was a lot.
Yes.
Like, it was cool to hear both of your experiences of like how the benefits and like how that's been helpful. And, you know, trying to like do more of that post pandemic.
And that's the hard part too, just talking about how do we fit our lives back into our comedy? Like, how do you, personal lives? Like, we talked about dating and as a comedian and how to just fit your like personal stuff into this career. Cause it feels like sometimes it can just be so overwhelming and there's just like so much to do. Mm. And it was cool hearing also from Alingon, like what works for him and just talking about our different experiences. But I love this conversation. And also it was cool like hearing about how he grew up like Hindu and how different that is from how we grew up with so much structure and rules.
And it was cool. When he was talking about how like, you know, they would do all the stuff. Like they would go to temple and all the stuff. And he's like, I didn't know the details of it all. Like I didn't know what I was actually doing. And I was like, that's similar to growing up Muslim too. Sometimes they don't explain all the things you're doing and you're just doing them.
Right. Especially when you're a kid and you're like, you go to mosque, you pray, but you don't really fully understand like the meaning behind it. But I do think I think he still doesn't, if I understand.
He said that. He was like, I don't know.
So don't ask him any deep questions about Hinduism, but just know he did it.
But just teach him.
Yeah,
if you
teach
can.
Him. Please, if there's a guru out there. No, it was really cool. I love hearing about different faiths and belief systems, especially ones that are different than what we grew up with.
Because there's always similarities that, and, you know, with like, growing up with different religions, like you're like, oh yeah, it was like that for me too. It's just cool to hear it.
Exactly. But that was awesome. So definitely check him out. But before we get to his episode, we're going to go to our first segment, the No Fly List, where we put people that we think shouldn't fly, kind of our shit list, if you will. We put those people on our No Fly List instead of innocent brown folks like ourselves. Sabine, who do we have this week?
Well, I've thought about it a lot. And this guy, it's my landlord, okay?
Oh.
We're putting him on the no fly list. Because I do this joke on stage. I'm not going to do the joke right now, but he asked me to take pictures of my feet. He's a foot fetish guy. I didn't realize it was like a pervy thing. And he had a stupid story, I believed. And I let him take a picture of my feet. Okay. So we hate him.
Also, it's a very funny story. If you want the full thing, definitely check out.
Just come to a show.
Come to Sabine's show or come to her apartment. Because he knocks on the door and tries to come hang out. Which, for me, is even worse than the foot fetish thing. It's like, you can have pictures of my feet, but do not interfere with my personal TV time.
He knocks. He'll be like, is everything okay in the apartment? Is everything all right? Everything good? And I'm like, yeah. And then he'd just be like, do you go to that place I told you about? Like, he'll recommend places to me, and like, which is fine. But then it's like, we're not friends. Just be my landlord and
he's not understanding. Oh, yeah. At least if he's going to exploit your feet like that to get some couple bucks knocked off your rent. But that That is so weird, especially for New York City, where the whole point of us living here so we cannot talk to our neighbors, especially our landlords, it's all about anonymity. People care about that way
he's
more.
He's like, he is just like, I want to be your best friend. Like, that's the energy he's got. It's so creepy. No. And he's an old man. I'm like, dude, like, you don't leave me alone.
He shouldn't be allowed to fly. He's only walking.
Only walking. Not even that. He should be housebound. Like, he should not leave.
He should think about what he did with your photos.
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about what he did with my photos.
Nobody does. But that's a good one. And New York City landlords all around can be shitty for so many different reasons. But this is the most, definitely the weirdest one that I've heard. So fuck him.
Fuck him.
He's on the no-fly list. Mm-hmm. But please check out and enjoy Elingon.
Woo!
Hi!
Hi!
Hello.
It's been a journey, guys. How are you, Elingon? Thank you for being here.
I'm good. Can I correct my name pronunciation?
Oh, my God. Please do. I'm saying it so wrong.
Oh, no worries. It's Elingon.
Elingon.
Yeah.
Elingon.
Elingon. What does Elingon mean?
It means embrace.
Embrace.
In Bengali.
Or is it embrace?
Embrace, correct. I'm pronouncing embrace. It wrong.
Yeah. You pronounced that wrong, okay?
Actually, you know, it's very, I don't know, I get frustrated, but there are, I say my name's Elingon, and then people from India correct my pronunciation of it, because they're like, you're not pronouncing it wrong. Oh, you're not pronouncing it right.
What do they say?
So people from India who speak Hindi will say that it's Elingon. But that's not right either, because it's a Bengali word in my book, so it would be Elingon.
Elingon.
Totally.
You're not Bengali, though. You're Indian, right? Or no?
Well, so my parents grew up in India, but culturally were Bengali, which all falls under the same umbrella, sort of.
Interesting.
Yeah, but the language is totally different than Hindi, so it's like...
Well, it's similar. Yeah, it's similar. I would say it's not as similar as like Gujarati and Hindi is, but it's... Bengali and Hindi have a lot of similarities, whereas like South Indian dialects, they come from like different roots.
That makes a lot of sense, because whenever I hear Bengali, because I speak Urdu, but I'm like, I can understand like bits and pieces, but not a lot. So that's I get it.
Yes.
And cool. What did you grow up? Are you Hindu, Muslim, or none
Hindu,
of the above?
Hindu, okay. Hindu, yeah.
Only because you said Bengali, I'm like, maybe?
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. So
he's a Muzzy?
Maybe, yeah. Had we known, we wouldn't have had you.
Yeah, no, we grew up Hindu. So, like, I think, I don't know how much of the history I'm telling that you guys already know, and also that I'm telling incorrectly. So
all good.
Okay.
It'll be an adventure.
So, when Bangladesh split, and when Bangladesh was originally part of Pakistan, that's when like there was like more Hindus in what is now Bangladesh. But when it split, Hindus migrated. So like my family migrated, I believe, from Bangladesh to what is now India. Like the Hindu Bengalis.
Interesting.
Okay. Ah,
the first Hindu Bengali. I mean, it wasn't until I moved to New York that I met even other brown people, period. So
where are you from?
Alabama.
But doesn't Huntsville have like a ton?
Probably. I know my cousin lived there because her dad worked for NASA.
Yeah.
So there was more brown people there, but not in Birmingham, especially like when I was growing up there. And then, you know, even with brown folks, like, you know, Arabs stay with Arabs, Indians stay within Pakistan. Like, it feels like it was very much like everyone's sort of stuck in their own kind of group, even though there were so few of us.
Yeah.
But everyone had their own little community.
You're like Arab?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
From Palestine. I feel like Muslims, you guys are tight though. Cuz you guys go to mosque together.
There's a lot of stuff about that.
But yeah, with Pakistani and Arabs, we went to the same mosque.
Sometimes, but there's also just like a lot of weirdness about mosques too, where you'll notice like certain ethnicities will go to certain mosques. Like, you'll see, like, more Indian Pakistanis go to certain mosques. Like, Arabs will go to different mosques. Like, it's not everywhere. Like,
I think that's in Chicago, because in Alabama, there's one mosque. So it's like,
in Chicago,
you can take
your pick.
Yeah.
I grew up in a mosque where my Sunday school was.
You grew up in a mosque?
I grew up in a mosque. The mosque that I lived in my whole life. Where I went to Sunday school, that was Arab and Desi and like it was more mixed. Mm-hmm. But I think the smaller ones, people like they have their like local community mosques. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's a little more separate.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Massachusetts.
Oh, is it pretty
Mass,
white?
Worcester. It isn't. it's actually, I mean, it's diverse for Massachusetts.
Okay.
But Massachusetts isn't that diverse. So, but Worcester is. I went to like Catholic school growing up, so it was pretty white there. And then I went to a private school afterwards, which had a lot of Jewish kids. So, but it was still like I think there was like one other Indian kid in my class. Or what? And then
were you guys friends or enemies?
We didn't hang, but she was like from India,
oh,
and she
okay.
was like boarding yeah. here, oh. and she hung out with all the like the. It was more of the people who were boarding didn't really hang out as much with the people who were like just going there for day school. So that I think.
Oh,
was
so it
was
also
divide.
A boarding school, and
it was also a boarding school.
Oh
yeah,
wow,
yeah.
That's cool. So there were like a lot of international kids.
There was a fair. I mean, compared to any other school there was, yeah. I would say, like, so my class, maybe like 100 kids, of which maybe 15 were international. But
got
they
it.
All pretty much hung out with themselves. Like, there wasn't that much mixing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And when did you move to New York?
Probably like 2015, I think.
Okay.
I don't have as, it's weird. I was trying to think of, like, timelines, especially with pandemic. Everything became even more blurry, but I feel like if anybody asked me like times, I'm pretty bad at like knowing when things happened.
Me too.
Thank God. Okay.
Yeah. I just quit to like, when did this thing happen? Like, okay, I moved to New York after I graduated college. I did this. I just,
oh,
that's
okay.
how I keep mm-hmm. track of things.
I do too.
Like,
I don't think in
when
years.
I left this job, mm-hmm. I try to like.
For me, mine was a little bit fuzzier because I was like deciding to move to New York, but my brother lived here already. So I just would come and like crash with him.
Oh, that's nice.
It was nice. And I was like feeling out the scene. Should I move or not? So eventually I decided, yeah. But then I just like continued to crash with him for a little while longer until I found like a place. So like the actual time of when I came was fuzzy to me.
Yeah. How many siblings do you have?
One older brother.
Oh, is he still here in New York?
He is. Yeah. Yeah. He's an attorney in the city.
Oh, nice. So
that's pretty cool.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's cool to have a sibling in the same city.
It's cool to have a sibling that has like a professional degree. Does that take the pressure off or put more pressure on for the?
I think it takes the pressure off.
Yeah. They're like, good. Mm-hmm. We have one respectable son
from
our maybe parents' perspective.
And it's like a lawyer. So like if anything goes wrong.
There you go.
I've got somebody to take care of me.
So you started in Massachusetts?
I started in Massachusetts.
And then you moved here.
Yeah.
Did you do anything before comedy? Do you have another career?
Oh,
path?
I mean, I did. I had like work.
But like, did you have a career, like a specific career? You know, some people like, you know, change career, like full-on careers.
Not really. Basically, I went through a couple phases. Initially, I was thinking I was going to like work in real estate. So I was a consultant for a little while. And then I was thinking of going to law school. So have you guys heard of AmeriCorps?
Yeah.
No.
It's basically like a domestic Peace Corps where you volunteer. I mean, that you're like given a stipend, but you're volunteering in some kind of nonprofit or some kind of like social service organization for a year. So I did that, and the organization I was placed in was like this legal aid organization because I was thinking of going to law school. So, but I realized like those people have like really good hearts.
they're pure,
they're like,
not assholes.
They like care, you know, very deeply. And I was thinking of like jokes the whole time, so I was like, I shouldn't be here. So after that, I worked again. Back, my family has like a tax consulting practice, so I started doing that while I was doing stand up, and that was good because I could like just take care of my work and then do stand up. It wasn't like you have to be here from like 9 to 5. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, so that was convenient.
That's what kind of real estate consulting were you trying to do?
Like, so real estate development. So public housing authorities, you need to, like, get, like, these tax credits, and you have to, like, submit, like, you know, these applications for that, so and do, like, the numbers on that. So I was doing that sort of stuff.
Got it. I got into real estate, too, but as a broker for a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My dad wanted me to do it because
you guys are in real estate.
Because we're in real estate. Yeah. My dad, he's, like, an investor, and he was just like, honey, we'll be a team, me and you.
Does he call you honey?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like a white dad, weirdly. It doesn't make any sense. He's a brown dad, but he's just like, I think he like came here in his 20s, so he just, it feels like he grew up here.
He seems more culturally American. Dad moved here in his 20s, my parents both, and my dad is very much like the 7-Eleven dude, just, hello, my friend, that's my dad. Yeah. Like, he's such whatever stereotype you have of an Arab man, that is him. My dad.
Yeah, my dad moved in his 20s too, but he's not white.
I don't know. Well, I don't know how to explain
does
it.
Does he have an accent still?
Yeah.
He does, but it's not, like, Indian. It's like this weird morphed, like, a little British English, a little American English, a little Indian English. So it's like...
Yeah, my mom's is also morphed, but my dad sounds... I think you said you're the opposite. No, I don't know if your mom has an accent.
Barely.
You have the accent.
I have an accent.
And your dad sounds like a Chicago...
He sounds like a Chicago Italian guy.
It skips a generation.
Yeah.
He's just born with a Pakistani accent.
I would love for my kids to have, like, a deep Pakistani accent.
You could get them to have that. Like, if you just, like, kept them isolated and taught them, then they'd have it.
I kind of want to do that.
Yeah.
How crazy would that be?
If your great.
Kids had an accent, but not you.
Well, actually, that happened to my, it happened. I have an aunt. Okay, I have my mom's brother. He married a woman from here, and she's Pakistani-American. And, like, they had kids. Mm-hmm. Kids grew up here. When the kids were seven, like, five or six, whatever, they were young, they decided to move back to Pakistan. And so then the kids started developing a little bit of an accent.
In Pakistan.
So then when they came back to visit here, mm-hmm. like, my little, like... I mean, yeah, my little baby cousins would like speak with an accent. Their mom would be like, just say it the way you normally say it. Like, she would just like get mad at them. And then they would only speak Urdu, and she's like, speak in English.
Wow.
And go back to your country.
So funny to me. Like my little fob baby cousins.
Like, we got to ban these kids.
It was so funny.
When you speak to your folks, do you get an accent a little bit? Because that's when I speak to my parents, even if I'm speaking in English, if I've got like white, like I remember in college, my roommates would hear me speaking to my parents. And even if I was speaking in English, mm-hmm. they'd be like, you speak in an accent to your parents.
So they can understand.
Yeah. Totally get that.
Yeah.
I speak to my dad in Arabic only. Mm. It's weird if I speak to my dad in English. He just used to act like he didn't understand what I was saying. Or maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe that was not
an act. He was faking
it. Actually, yeah, he probably still doesn't speak English. And then with my mom, maybe it's like a more neutral.
Did your mom come here?
Same time, but she has a morphed accent. And when I do her accent on stage, it's not really her. I can really only imitate
her. Is it like so subtle now that you can't do it?
Yeah, it's a little more
subtle. That's how it is for my mom too.
But my dad is very like, very, very thick, mm-hmm. very there. But... I don't know. That's
yeah,
kind of
I speak
funny.
To my dad, and I don't know. Well, just in English. I don't think I have an accent, but I speak to my mom in Urdu. I like mainly do that because it's like easier for her to understand things, and I butcher it.
When did she come?
And when she was like 30, that's when she married my dad.
Oh,
so she got
progressive.
Yeah, everyone, my mom married late. She didn't want to get married. She was like, screw this.
Yeah,
and then her dad was like, you got to do it. And she was like, fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was she in Pakistan or here?
Yeah, in Pakistan. She's from a village and like she didn't have her mom growing up. Her mom died and like so her dad was just like, you know, they were just poor farmers and she was like, she just wanted to be a teacher. And then my grandpa was like, you got to get married. Like, we got to get you out of here. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and then, she married my dad.
Mm-hmm. And then came here. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's such a huge change.
And she had my dad's... My dad has a daughter from a previous marriage, so she had like a white stepdaughter also.
Oh.
A half Southern Pakistani stepdaughter that my mom had to deal with. Like, it's like coming out of a village, coming to America, and now you got a white kid.
Can you imagine guys living the lives that our parents did even for like a day?
Dude,
that's like a sitcom. Like, it literally would be like a sitcom in the 80s. Like, you have a white daughter that you now have to deal with. You know?
That's what happens when you come to America.
Yeah.
Are there any pressures, cultural pressures from your parents, either marriage or what to be, you know, like my mom still thinks comedy's a hobby, but.
Oh my God, my dad does too.
So it's like, have they accepted
your
life
choices? Yeah, where are you at with that?
So my folks are surprisingly supportive. What happened was my dad, when he was growing up, he loved like arts. So he loved like theater, he loved poetry. And if he could pursue that at that time, he would have loved to, but that just was not viable, right? So he became like a scientist. And then when they came to the country, his whole thing was like, oh, we came here so that you could pursue opportunities that aren't available there. Aww. And one of those is arts. So if you pursue that, so that's a good thing. That's how they view it. So they're very supportive, almost to the point where I'm like, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, you're like, this isn't good for my comedy.
It's not good for my comedy. It's also like, I respect the people who are like, don't pursue comedy because it's not a wise decision.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They should have stopped me.
Yes.
But I get it. I wouldn't encourage anyone. It's like comedy is one of those things you feel like you don't choose it. It chooses you. And you're like, damn it. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I came to terms with the fact that I wanted to do comedy as a career. And I cried in therapy because I was like, I don't want to want this.
Oh, wow. Because
now I have a responsibility to it. You're like, damn it. I got to go. I got to do the thing now.
How were you guys during the pandemic?
I was with my parents for like 4 months. You were home, right?
I was home for most of it. Yeah. I was losing my mind. I was crying. I was having so many breakdowns because I was like, I'm not a comedian. I'm not performing. Like, and you know, you have your identity so wrapped in it. Like, I was like, well, if I'm not performing and doing any of it, then who the hell am I?
Okay.
I had so many breakdowns. Like, but then I was doing like these Zoom corporate gigs, which doesn't feel like comedy, but it kind of helped me feel like I was.
We started an Instagram live open mic called Buns and Bits because we would just talk to each other. We just needed to do something. And we're like, let's do an Instagram live mic. And it was fun.
Yeah.
What about yourself? Did you stay here or did you go back?
I went home for what I thought was going to be like a week. But then basically my brother and I were like debating who should go home. Should something happen, somebody should be home. My brother has a girlfriend here. So it was like, all right, you stay here. I'll go there. And I was going to go and I thought, you know, for a week or two. And then I ended up being like a couple months.
Same, yeah.
But I was, aside from, I got lucky in that we have like a basement. And when I moved in there, I basically just like had like separation from my folks because I didn't want to give them COVID if I had it, right? So we were basically like not seeing each other face to face for however long before.
That sounds so nice.
But it turned out to be really good because I think otherwise, if I had moved and gone into like my old bedroom, things would have reverted very quickly into that, and I wouldn't have liked that at all.
Yeah.
But instead, I had like a basement, and the basement's like complete, so it's got like a bedroom and a bathroom. So it was like. It was like my own space and I could like talk on the phone with like privacy and things like that. So I didn't have to.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
So I think it didn't have the same.
They didn't have to hear your phone sex or anything.
Like... Right. Right. Yeah. So they didn't have to deal with any of that.
That's good.
No, I was staying in my parents like moved back and forth a lot between Palestine and Alabama. And then they sold their house in Alabama. Now they're in an apartment. So it was just me, my brother, and my mom and dad. And I have three brothers. The older ones are married. Now they're all married. So it's just me that's single.
All the pressure's on you.
It's like the pressure's on me, but it's also maybe a little bit off because they have grandkids and all them.
So that's nice. Yeah.
But it was, it was like 4 months. And, you know, my parents are pretty conservative, religious. Like to not be able to drink or smoke weed or do anything and just being like in your right there in your parents' face all the time.
Yeah.
It's a lot. You have to deal with a lot of like childhood shit that comes up.
Yeah. My parents just treat me like a kid whenever I'm back in Chicago. Like, I mean, well, I kind of like it.
It's nice.
I think that's why
bit.
I stay there for like a year.
It's nice to get taken care of. I will say it's nice to have home cooked meals. It's nice to, but then the part of you regresses too.
Yeah, I get lazy.
Regression is a bad thing.
That's the hard thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, and the other thing was like, because it was COVID, like normally if I go home, I'm not like present in home the whole time, but because it was COVID, I was just like there.
That's the thing too.
Whole
time.
So it's like a 24 hours with them situation, which is much more than you're used to. Yeah, but I didn't miss comedy that much.
You know, it was nice to have a little bit of break, but the scary thing is just the unknown of it. Just not knowing what's going to happen afterwards.
I got scared that I would like it too much, not doing comedy, because it. To some degree, I enjoyed the break too.
Yeah.
And I started like, I don't know, I was like separating myself a little bit in like a healthier way with comedy. And I was like, oh yeah, it's like a thing that I do and I love it. But I'm also my own person. Like, I don't know. That's a thing that I did, but I kind of enjoyed the space too.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty much at peace with like, okay, the world is not going to be open for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I won't really, that's out of my control. So I couldn't really worry about it. So I was at peace with, like, I mean, I did some stuff. Like, I went through, like, old video footage and things like that. And, like
just cried and...
cried, like, a lot. No, but it was good. So I just, like, focused on, like, other things. Like I said, like, all the things that I wanted to do before that I felt like time wouldn't allow for, like, read, meditate, exercise. I felt like I was doing those things.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. I think that was so helpful to have that time. And now that things are back in full swing...
All of that's gone.
Right? Isn't yes. that so yeah. hard? I'm trying to get back into it now. Yeah, I was meditating like 45 minutes a day when I was home. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is what you do when you don't have anything. You just sit in silence.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was doing like an hour a day. It's great.
Okay, it's not a competition.
Yeah. I was just doing a little bit more than you.
Fine, you win. Fine. No, but I would love to get back into that. Especially that we're in New York. We need it more than ever.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. So I remember while it was happening, me thinking like, I really hope I can carry this forward when things open up. I really, and I knew it was going to break the moment things open, but I was like, I really hope I can do it. And I just haven't been able to.
Yeah. I think, yeah, just getting comedy. Back into it like 5 minutes a day and just, it's really the momentum and the repetition.
I'll do like 6 minutes.
Okay.
Well, I'll do seven.
Okay, guys, let's chill out here. I've done zero, but like, what are the benefits that you guys feel from like meditating?
Do you want to? Well, you did a little bit less, so I can tell you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You tell me what it's like. I've only benefited 45 minute amounts at a time.
Yeah, you don't really know.
I've only benefited 95% as much as mm-hmm. Elangon. Now, did I say it right?
I think so. Elangon.
Elangon.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I like about it. And then I feel like a couple of things. One is, so I feel like my brain will like jump around a lot. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of like the meditation is like, okay, you're training your brain to focus on something, mm-hmm. right? In this case, it's your breath. So I felt like it would be helpful even like after I'm done meditating to be able to like focus on something. So that was something that was good. And then, you want to go?
Yeah, so cool. I think it also, for me, makes me less reactive. So being at home was really important. Was like a test because I am so reactive, especially around my parents. Like, and so, you know, meditation puts space between you and your thoughts and it allows you to take a step back and see like, okay, like how do I respond rather than be like just a really reactive person? And even like, I mean, you know, there's studies that chemically it changes like the neuropathways and does give you a little bit more kind of like that buffer. So, and then the other cool thing that would happen, I would do a lot of these guided meditations and they would be like trippy, like on top of just the regular silent meditations. But at some point you feel like you're almost having like this you're like floating, you feel light. And I got to a point where it just, it was trippy. It was really cool. I don't know.
That's
but
awesome.
The biggest thing though, I think is just like calming, like making me less like snappy.
I think, yeah, I agree with that thing. It's the emotional balance of it where so often we are just like, oh, this thing happened and I'm going to react to it. Because you're meditating, you're like thinking about, oh, I'm feeling this, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that I'm going to like immediately respond or react to that feeling. I'm like, oh, this is just a feeling I'm having. I don't have to be...
I don't have to engage with it.
Is.
I don't have to be the feeling. Yeah,
makes
that's
you
the biggest
pause
thing.
And think.
Yeah, a bit. Exactly. And it creates
it's
like
what?
A
makes you pause and think a little
mm-hmm,
bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
yeah.
about
yeah.
things.
I think that's so important. But yeah, I've just been doing like now, like literally, I've been doing like a certain like a chakra breathing thing that's like a few minutes a day and trying to expand from that.
Yeah.
That's cool. I want to try that. I mean, I'm going back home for a week and a half.
So test it out. Do it.
Try to meditate.
You're going to be home for 10 days?
In Chicago, yeah. Just going back.
Yeah.
For a little bit. Yeah, just doing some shows and hanging out with family. So I'll probably need to meditate. But I also pray. So sometimes I feel like that's my way of disconnecting with everything.
Yeah.
When I'm, you know, just praying.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're praying?
It's just like you know, like you're reciting in Arabic.
Like the traditional.
The traditional, like, Islamic prayer. Yeah. And then I feel like. That feels meditative to me. I think sitting in silence is hard for me, but if I'm reciting something, then I can kind of like zone out of things and just do that and mm-hmm. feel calm.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when I'm doing my prayers, I feel like that is meditative for me a little bit.
How often do you do it?
Well, I mean, when I'm at my parents' house, I will most likely get my like 4 to 5 in.
Wow.
But if I'm not at home, it's like maybe 2 a day, 2 or 3.
It's hard because
wow,
it's
even
like,
that is more yeah. than I was expecting.
It feels good. It's just, it grounds me a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, it feels like gives me that connection. I grew up with it and my mom was super like diligent. But she, like I was always praying at home and I was very
yeah.
into religion because of her. But
do you believe in a God?
I do.
In what sense?
Yeah, there's, you know, he's up there. In what sense? Like,
like, is it a force that you can tap into and will, like, if you pray to it, will assist
right.
you?
Yeah, or it's kind of like a lot of stuff, but it's like a very loving, motherly kind of a God, I guess. Like where it's like if you. You could talk to him about everything. I actually talk about to Thea about like how when I was growing up, my mom, instead of parenting, if I had any questions or needed something, she'd be like, go ask Allah. And I'm like, what? like she literally would just like not deal with stuff with me. And I would just like go pray about it. And then I don't know. It's just like after the prayer, you sit there and you just like share your deepest feelings with God. And you're like, you know, this feels good. Thank you. I want this more in my life, and just it's a good practice of gratitude too, and
yeah,
it's a lot of things.
Gratitude is super important. I used to be more the traditional route, and then when I moved to New York, I was like,
yeah,
fuck all this that my parents taught, because I was just doing it. But at some point, I did experience the meditative part growing up at some points, but then I realized I was just doing it too because my dad like forced it on me, and mm-hmm. then that made me go the opposite. Like kind of rebellious of when I was like 21, when I moved here, I was like, fuck, like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I sort of been, the pandemic was like really helpful for me to redefine what my spirituality looks like, what my connection to the greater, you know, universe yeah. force, whatever the energy, is like. So, I mean, I think whatever helps you, whatever calms you down, like any kind of practice, I think is good.
Yeah. Any religious growing up, or did you like, grow up.
Yeah, so we used to have, we used to go to temple, but that, I don't know, Hinduism's pretty, at least the version that came to me was pretty like do-it-yourself
yeah.
version. So we didn't have like a strict guidelines in terms of like what we were supposed to be doing or how we were supposed to be living. It was, there was like, we would sing, basically there's like the Aarti, which is like the, I guess, like a religious song that is pretty popular and common amongst like Hindus when they're doing pujas. Mm-hmm. So we do that once a day. And then we had a guru who I still don't know like what his teachings are. But my family believed in his like, in his ability to like guide us. And so he would come once a year to America and go to his disciples, and
wow.
people would come, and basically there would be like these pujas, these ceremonies that would happen, and then you would just sing bhajans, which is like the songs, and then everybody would just like eat fruit, the like prasad, the special like blessed fruit, and that's basically like my understanding of what was happening then. I don't know what his like teachings were, but then there would be a meditation sort of that was taught to us where you recite a I don't even know, like a, what are those things people have when they like
mantra?
A mantra, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you would basically have this like mantra that you would recite a certain number of times, and you would do that like after you shower in front of the god. You would just like pray and meditate for, and then that was like part of being his disciple. Yeah,
that's cool. How often would you go to temple?
Maybe once every 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah, and even that, like when you're going, there's like all these like idols.
Yeah.
We'd go, we'd walk around, and then there was like a priest. He would do like a ceremony on our behalf, which is like maybe like a 10-15 minute thing, mm-hmm. and then we would do this like basically just like walk around. So it wasn't.
I love this.
It was
cool.
pretty relaxed and not. It's nice, but it's also it would be nice to have some sense of like, oh, what are our
structure?
Yeah, well, what are our beliefs?
It's like I believe in something. I don't know what it is. I don't know his teaching, but I am following him.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, I'd love to talk to you more about that. Actually, like off the like, there's certain mm-hmm. things I wanna ask you about with Hinduism.
I mean, you're probably sensing. I don't know much about
it. He knows nothing, so that's all luck I need with to that
know.
At the ear.
You know what? Yeah. I'm going to teach you about Hinduism after this.
You would know a bit more than me.
But we do need your help with our first segment. It's a dating segment called 50 Shades of Brown.
Of course, yes.
So this segment where we ask...
Dating experts, this is perfect.
Oh, yeah. We don't even know about your dating life, but, you know, we don't need to know. We just need you to solve people's problems. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we had people write in... different dating questions. Sabine,
they did. I want to see if there were any other ones here.
Is there one that you want to?
Oh, yeah. I think this is a good one for comics because we have such a weird schedule. And it's like, okay, someone said after 3 to 4 dates, how often do you see the other person? Once a week, multiple times a week?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good one. How often are you?
Like, let's say you're, I think what he's saying is like when you're more invested, what is your routine, I guess? Like, how often do you want to see someone?
I'm just smirking because that's like a huge issue with comics, right? Like,
yeah.
I will literally, there have been people who I've gone on dates with 3 or 4 times, but it has been over the course of like 5 months because of comedy. You know, it's just such a terrible schedule for that. So the question is, how often would you be wanting to see somebody who you have gone on 3 or 4 dates with?
Yes.
If you are not a comedian, I would say twice a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's fair. But okay, have you been, you know, in a exclusive relationship since you've been in comedy?
Yeah, I had been.
And how often would you see each other?
Ooh, I'm trying to remember.
There's a reason they're an ex, right?
No. Yeah.
I would say, but maybe 2 or 3 times
a week. Yeah, I feel like that's like
that's
a good reasonable. Yeah,
as a comic, that's good.
Well, I know like Katie Boyle, who's a friend of ours, and she's like one of the busiest comics and people I know. But she will make even when she was like casually dating, she would make time to see somebody like 4 or 5 times. But I think if like you work around your schedule, or it could be like if you really want to see someone, you could see them during the day for like a coffee day or early dinner and then go to a show or meet up after like late. It depends if they are also flexible in their schedule.
Yeah. I think the hardest part is the beginning stages because you aren't like familiar with each other enough to just pop in. Right. Like everything is a date.
It's a plan.
It's an event. Yeah,
that's
true.
That's true.
But then once you tip into like, oh, we're familiar enough, then I feel like comic life is not so bad because you can do sort of what you're saying.
Yeah,
which is like,
you're right.
Oh, I even if like my schedule's pretty erratic, I can find time and it's not odd to just pop in or get whatever, like a meal and then have to run or come in late or whatever the situation is. But it's those beginning stages, especially if you don't know the person, if it's a random person, that you're like, ooh, I'm not at a stage yet where I can just go over, right?
True.
Or like, just be like, oh, I'm free now. Let's hang.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It also depends on their schedule. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Sabine?
I was always scared. Like, I would always have this idea of like, oh my God, dating's going to be so hard. Like, anytime I would get into something or like even go on a couple of dates, I'd be like, how am I going to make this work with comedy? And I would have this weird anxiety. But I guess the current person I'm seeing, like, we see each other once a week and he's a consultant. So his schedule's the harder one, actually. Like, I can figure things out after a show usually or before, but he's like out of town a lot. So I think that it kind of shifted with him where I'm like, me being a comic isn't even the issue. This is amazing. I was like, it's you. You're the bad one.
Honestly, and it's been the same in my situation where he like works really late. And then in the beginning, we saw each other 2 weeks in a row.
Oh.
It was kind of intense. And then afterwards.
What is the job?
He's a producer and actor and edits a lot of video. So at night, I think he just like edits a lot. And like, that's really time consuming. I know from my 30-second reels that takes me forever. I can't even imagine editing a movie or.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
I think that just on top of his like other stuff takes more time. But now we've worked it out. We're like, maybe we'll just work in the same space or do, you know, I don't know. Try to spend time together way.
That's the other, like. Now there's so much like work from home stuff happening that I feel like comic life if you aren't like occupied during the days, you can make that happen,
yeah.
right? Whereas before that was like not so viable because everybody was going into the office. Consultant life, I feel like isn't so bad because they've got at least weekends.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, whereas comics, I feel like nights and weekends are when we're gone.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I used to work with consultants as a health coach, and they have the most insane schedule. Even on weekends, these people are working till like 1 a.m. It mm-hmm. depends on what consulting firm. And he yeah. works for like a big one.
Well, yeah, so, this guy is just like yeah. working like all the time. It's kind of wild where I was like, we shouldn't maybe like I was really
like maybe you should
it.
Do
like,
comedy so we have more like, time together.
Yeah, yeah.
consulting.
Yeah. So once a week?
I think once a week is what we've been doing. And then so, like lately I've been out of town, so we haven't seen, like we've just been FaceTiming a lot. I was like, if I don't see you in a week, we need to FaceTime like 2 times a week or something.
Yes.
For I think like that, at least in like an hour. Like I need that.
That helps too to keep that contact. Wait, what were we gonna say?
Yeah. No. How long have you guys been seeing each other?
Like 3 to 4 months, 3 months. Huh. So we're familiar now, but like, yeah, our schedules just get kind of. It's hard. It's hard to see each other. And then I get angry and then I get resentful.
Let's call him in. No,
I think that happened.
Like, yeah. At some point with me. And then we had to have a discussion about expectations. So I think that's yeah. helpful to answer this person's mm-hmm. question. There is no right or wrong answer. It's just like have that conversation of what do you expect? Like how much time would you like to see each other? What's realistic given our schedules. And as long as you're on the same page, I feel like that's easier because then you know what to expect versus like, oh, I thought last week we saw each other 4 times. Yeah, but I didn't have this thing last week. Now I can only see you once this week. So that even might change. So as long, I feel like it just helps to communicate and like create that mutual expectation that it doesn't even matter how much, as long as you're both on in agreement of what that looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
No. But there's no easy way to. Yeah, but it didn't even occur to me to have that discussion about
how
expectations.
Often to see each other. Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. After 4 dates, you should be able to have that conversation without it being weird. Yeah.
I just always feel like even just like as a woman and dating New York City and like feeling like anything that I express as a want or a need is going to come off too needy.
Yeah, that's I think that's a pretty common yeah. fear people have, and it's bad to have to worry about that because
yeah.
you limit yourself and end up in situations that you're uncomfortable with as a result. Yeah, I'm all about like, oh, just say whatever it is that's mm-hmm. that you're expecting. And if the person actually cares enough, then they will like validate that and be like, okay,
yeah.
and find a way to make it work if it's possible. Or if not, then you know, okay,
yeah.
aren't going to be what I need anyway.
Yeah.
They're not meeting your needs. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you don't want to find out. You don't want to admit to yourself that the person's not. Like, I've been in situations where I'm like, I know my needs aren't getting met, but like, let me not rock the boat and let's just keep things like.
Yeah,
because
you think like maybe in due course it'll come through.
It's never worked out. It's never worked out. But yeah. Thanks for sending in your dating question. Okay. Mm-hmm. We've got one last little fun game. We'll let you decide. It's called Keeping Up with the Caucasians. Yeah, so this is a segment where we talk about things that white people do. I've got a whole list that I'm trying to find and pull up. It's a segment where we talk about things that white people do and whether we as people of color also do these things. I think we both came in with juices today, so I think we both broke it already, just to give you a little...
Mine was a smoothie.
Yours was a smoothie. I had a type of juice, which I never juice, but...
I think juicing is more white than smoothie.
I think so. Yeah. I think juicing, because also if you have a juicer, then you probably are of a certain tax bracket. Those things are expensive too.
I mean, I just came in with a water, so I'm the brownest of you guys.
No, I love
it.
No, if you
and
came
you
in with chai,
you were real brown.
I was the and okay. I had a broken tripod.
And a broken
that
tripod.
Feels brown.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
Don't
no,
that, and you came late. We janky. All yeah, we yeah. started. We were all the most brown.
I'm honestly really happy about this.
Like, we're on brand, okay? So we have different categories for you to choose from. We're gonna throw them out at you and then pick one. Sabine, do you want to pick a category?
Oh, okay, I pick a category.
Yeah, and then. Read out his category. Sorry.
Oh, okay. And then he picks?
Yeah.
Okay. We have food or beverage, pop culture, TV, music, activities, style or clothes or phrases or sayings, miscellaneous. And that's
any of those sounds.
Activities.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
What I'm going to say this one because Which it's one? Something.
Oh, yes. Let's do that one. Okay.
Is this an app or did you guys make a list?
No, we just have like a list.
Yeah. Of
things that white, like a white person
and
app?
It does feel like an app yeah, the there, way we're
there's
like.
There's actually a book that it's by a white guy like called like Shit White People Do. And I took a lot of that stuff from there. I've done my due diligence and research, but I've had a white person be like, these are not all white things. I'm like, they came from a white person that said shit white people do and things I've seen with my own eyes.
Okay, so should we tell him our thing?
Yes.
Okay, it's rock climbing.
Have you done it?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Wait, you did
win.
I lose?
No, you win. You win. Like, no, you win.
You actually,
you've never rock climbed.
I've never gone rock climbing. No, that's intense.
Yeah.
Even
those like indoor rock climbing.
There's different levels, though.
Yeah.
There's definitely
not
easy
like
ones.
Mount Everest, but even the
like bouldering and all that. Yeah.
Oh, bouldering's so hard because that's your like upside
bouldering?
Down, right?
I don't think you're upside down.
Yeah, you are.
What?
You mean, wait.
Like Spider Man? What are you picturing?
I need to look up bouldering.
It's when you're,
I think.
You're just, you know, oh, you don't have any help.
Right. Different from being upside down. I think it's that.
No, I swear I saw like a video of a guy.
You're thinking of like a.
Just like climbing by himself. And he was like kind of almost upside down at a certain angle.
Is it just that they're like, wait, but what's a bouldering? Aren't boulders
bigger
rocks?
I think you were just looking at the picture in the wrong direction. You were like, he's upside down. Yeah.
What's the difference between bouldering?
Oh, well, when you're bouldering, you don't have any support. So you don't have any ropes or anything.
You don't have the
to
bungee thing.
Called? It's like a, it starts with a B, but it's like a whole process of putting it all around you. But yeah, you don't have any support. You're just
you don't have a harness?
Hands. No harness.
Oh my God. Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
He's never even rock climbed.
Yeah, but I do know that it's not just going upside down.
Okay,
I
well,
it's just called Spider-Manning. Like, you know, I've done it one time, indoor rock climbing. I broke a nail and got mad. And it was like in a gym at
That sounds very white, though.
That does
to
sound
be like,
white.
Oh,
I
broke
a
nail,
never rock climbing again. It fucking hurt and it's hard.
It's a total body.
Yeah,
you can't just casually rock climb.
You can't casually
But
rock
once you
climb.
Get into it, it's really fun. I
so
wanted
to. She's the ultimate. Yeah.
But you know what? This Arab guy took me on date to rock climb.
Okay.
What number date?
It was a first date. But he didn't
wrong.
Even tell me it was a date, so I thought we were just being friends that were rock climbing together.
He just wanted to see your feet like from that angle.
That was it. Oh, it was so fun, though. I really loved rock climbing. I was like, this is cool. I did the easy level. So it was like there were so many rocks all around me. So
I don't have I think like you need like forearm strength. And
I think you
gotta hurt my wrist
when I
was
young. It's a lot of leg, too.
It's a full body thing. I think you pull from your core.
I have, no strength, period. So that's why I don't think I would like it.
Maybe we'll all go rock climbing.
I think we should.
We'll teach us how to do it.
I think it'd be a really fun activity. Yeah.
But what's the one? There's some. Did you look it up at all?
I looked up bouldering.
And then what did you see?
It says that bouldering is a form of free climbing that is performed on small rock formations or artificial rock walls without the use of rope or harnesses. Okay. So that part
it's just
was correct.
More dangerous rock climbing.
I mean, yeah, it is. It is.
There's another thing that there's like another style. Starts with a C.
Really?
Oh, I know what you're saying.
What are you like?
Yeah, I know. Scaling? No, that's different. Then you scale a wall. What's it called? That does not sound
any.
Starts with C.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you haven't done any extreme sports. I take you past the whole activity.
Yes, I wouldn't have done any of those.
Yeah, no one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's bouldering. There's highballing. There's free soloing. Mountaineering. Is that
mountaineering? Have you mountaineered?
No.
That's very white.
I'm a big mountaineer.
Mountaineer.
I don't even need to know what it is.
I've liked to mountaineer. I want to say that.
Well, you pass. Sabine failed. I did it once and then didn't do it again. I don't know. I'm in the middle. This is a very scientific system, basically.
Yeah.
But thank you for playing Keeping Up with the Caucasians.
Right.
You have not kept up, but that's a good thing.
That's a good thing, yes.
That is a good thing. Well, Alangon, thank you so much. And I said your name wrong again.
Alangon.
Alangon. Like Klingon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's when I
is that what you tell people?
If I have to, I'll do that sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, it's like Klingon with an A.
I say it's like a theory without the why. A theory, like to help. People. I don't know
theory.
If that does that help people or
it's
confuse
like a
them.
Theory?
More? It's the first time you've said
like
that.
Saying a theory.
Oh, like a oh,
like a theory.
A theory.
A theory. A theory.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
A theory. Like you're saying.
Yeah.
A theory of I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a theory of mind or something.
And Sabine
is just like
like a Sabine.
People know how to say it, right?
Yeah. They say like sometimes I'll say like
Sabine.
Yeah, like Sabine. Sabine. I get a lot actually.
But the two E, you've got two E's in it,
right? I get Ather and I have two E's.
Right. People don't,
they don't read
catch that part.
Yeah.
It's weird. Or like Sabine. I've had a few that random people say Sabine with an M.
It's like
I'm
you're
like,
so close.
How are you missing that?
Yeah.
The N is there.
People will add a T to my name a lot. Allington.
Wait, I
really
can see that.
Yeah. People add an L, Althier. I get called Althier a lot.
Yeah.
Why are they adding? There's enough letters. No.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. Like, I wouldn't mind it, but like, Allington's not a name.
Allington. Sounds like a street.
Yeah, it sounds like Arlington or something.
Yes, it does.
People like doing that. Sometimes they'll like really like French it up and make it like Alignon because there's like a GN.
Like a
filet mignon.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
you gotta give him some credit for that because
that's
creative.
That's pretty spicy.
Yeah. They're trying.
very jazzy name. Like ours need to be jazzed up anyway.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
Where can our listeners follow you, find you?
Yeah. Easiest thing would be, I guess, my website, which is alingadmitra.com, but you can also just go to tiktokcomic.com and it forwards to alingadmitra.com. So that's the easiest thing. Or in my Instagram or my TikTok are both at alingadmitra.
Yes.
Great.
Please follow him. He's got the best videos, stand up and amazing like social media stuff. And
thank you.
Follow us at No Fly List Pod. Follow me at Athir Yacoub.
And me at Sabine Comedy.
And thank you.
Sabine
Comedy.
Sabine. And as a Nancy. No. And thank you guys. Thank you, Canal Street Radio, for having us.